I want to pray for a moment. I hate that wine. Take a sip, I get a chunk of ice. I want to pray for a moment. How many here today, your father has gone to be with the Lord? Many, several. I have not experienced that yet. One day I will cross that bridge. But my heart goes out to you. I've done enough funerals for loved ones who have lost their parents to know that it is a very deep and very hard experience. And so I want to pray for you, because today being Father's Day, obviously your fathers are on your minds. And the reason why they're on their minds is because I believe your fathers will ever be in your heart, and that's where they should be. And so I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for these who are here, who are, Lord, perhaps struggling today because of the loss of their father. God, I pray a blessing into their lives. I thank you, God, that our fathers are deep in our hearts and will always be there. But Lord, when they're no longer standing in front of us face to face, it's a difficult season. And so God, I pray a blessing on each one who has lost their fathers. That today would be a day of rejoicing in memories, a day of rejoicing in the love of their fathers. But God, that you would provide comfort. And Lord, that you would provide assurance and hope that one day we will meet again and we will enjoy their presence again when we're with you in heaven. But Lord, I don't have words that would make sense to each one, because each one struggles differently with grief. Each one struggles differently with loss. And so, God, I just pray that today a special measure of love be poured on these who have lost their fathers. And, God, that you would bless them even greater than what they could have imagined on this Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Something else I want to do before I get started as well. I want to give you opportunity, if you would. Would anyone just like to really talk about your father just for a moment? Praise God for something he's done, or for the person he was, or share a story of something that is just fantastic that you'll never forget. Would anyone like to do that? Sure, here. Yeah, you need that. Talk right into it.
All right. I grew up without a father. I was in a ministry down in Elmira, and I was having a hard time trying to control my swearing and stuff like that language, and the minister asked me to, he happened to be from Australia, he asked me to come up and reveal what my problem was. And I was there, put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, you grew up without a father, but you do have a father in heaven. And that was just a real enlightening thing.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Hey, give that to her.
I was so lucky because I had two fathers and two mothers. I had a dad, and then I got my stepdad, and I had a stepmom, and they were all so wonderful. They made my day, and they made my kids' day, and I missed them terribly. I can't have Father's Day neither can my husband. But we think of them and we pray for them. Just like I love all of you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, most of you probably know my story. My biological father spent most of my life in prison or jail, so I didn't really have much contact with him. He meant well. He did his best to be there for me when he could. He helped me out, helped me and my mom out. But I'm not going to talk about him. I'm going to talk about my grandfather. He's always been there for me. And whether it's been coming to a couple of my basketball games, my soccer games, you know, helping me learn drums or taking me out hunting, it's always been him. I am the man I am now today because of him. I don't know where I would be without him.
Awesome. Amen. Somehow I knew this guy wouldn't be able to just... Before I give him the mic... This guy, I was hoping you'd come up here. I really was. Because this guy is like one of the biggest advocates for fathers that I know. And he gets it. And so, Mike, if you'd like to just share whatever it was you're going to share, but also share some thoughts about, well, I'm sure you know what to do. Go ahead.
I think the first... really appreciate and understand a dad, you kind of got to be a dad. Because looking at my dad growing up, I mean, there's different memories, different things that happen. But the thing that makes me love my dad more today than I ever have is the fact that I've witnessed his journey. I've witnessed his growth. I've witnessed how he adjusted his parenting style over the years and how he just got better. And in the end, I mean, my dad he's always been my biggest supporter, him and my mom. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be. I mean, I have the Lord, and the Lord has done great things. But having that foundation of a mom and a dad, you know, I can remember, I mean, I spent a lot of time incarcerated. So I had a lot of quality time with my dad on a visiting floor, you know. A table here, a chair here, a chair there. You got 2 hours, you know. And so a lot of our quality time came, our good quality time came in moments where I was hurting. And after a while, I kind of took on behaviors that, man, I'll do some crazy things and spend some more quality time with my dad. I mean, I didn't really realize it consciously, but it was like I would enjoy those moments that we had. I was in a place called Industry as a kid, and at this time, my dad, and as the story goes, you know, I've raised 10, I think more like 15 kids, because we don't know about all the other ones, but he came here in 1955 to Geneva, New York, 4th of July, and he had $50 in his pocket. He says, I've raised 10 kids, I've never been on welfare, and I've always worked hard for everything we have. He bought his mom, her first refrigerator, the first couch. You know, these accomplishments that he made, he always, and I think in a lot of us, even those that aren't maybe good dads, have this desire in us to want to be better, want to be greater. But the dad is kind of that closest example that shows us. People can talk about it and be about it, but it's that dad that demonstrates that, whether it's a spiritual dad, you know, whether somebody in church, a grandfather. And what scares me today about the kids is we used to have grandparents that stepped in when the parents failed. But today, now the parents and the grandparents, not all of them, but are failing. And I don't know why. And my heart aches because my heart ached. I know what it was like to not be around a very pleasant, nice, caring, loving, nurturing dad. I remember that stage. And I'm glad I can remember that stage because I now value and appreciate a loving dad, a gentle dad, a generous dad. But it always wasn't like that. I can remember, and in those moments, because the scripture says all things, good and bad, work to the better of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even being that little boy, being in a house that was chaotic, Friday, Saturday nights, you know, being 4 or 5 years old, mom and dad coming home and things getting pretty wild and being scared because I didn't have that protection. I didn't have that counsel. I didn't have that guidance of a dad at that time. I had to get drawn closer to my spiritual dad. When I was behind those bars and I couldn't talk to mom or talk to dad, I had to call on some dad, and I called on my spiritual dad. And he showed up, and he was there. So even the bad moments in my home and in my family and my relationship with my biological dad, they always seemed to push me closer to my spiritual dad, which then in return brought me closer back to my physical dad, my natural dad. And today, I don't. You know, my mom passed away a couple years ago. All I have is my dad as far as a parent, and he lives next door. And still to this day, I could fail at anything. I could have an idea which he knows is going to fail from the beginning. But he would vest in me. He would support in me. And I realize that as, now because he's done that for me, you know, because much is given, much is required of that. And that's why I believe, Pastor Dale, I have that heart, because it was shown to me. And I've had some spiritual dads too that had stepped into that place and loved me and cared for me and were gentle with me when I was vulnerable, when I was, you know, when I was weak, when I was lost, when I was confused. There was those men and women in the flesh that God placed to be an instrument of his love. And we say this thing in fatherhood group, that a father is just not a father to his own, but to the fatherless. And the fastest growing epidemic in America is fatherlessness. There's more kids without dads than there is with dads. So with that, I try to, and I fail, and I'm a failure. I fail every day, but I continue to get back up and not quit. And because this is so passionate and so, you know, so close to my heart, it hurts sometimes when I don't see the response from those that I love the way that I do, the response that I want. And I'm sure other parents can you know, understand that. You know, you expect your kids to maybe value and appreciate some of the things you do, and right now, they don't. Not all of them. And I didn't either. And that can hurt sometimes, you know, because you want to give your kids the best and you want to love them. And sometimes you could do more damage than good, you know, but I'm learning. And I think as a dad, I commend all of you for continuing to learn and to grow and to be. And although you may have failed in previous marriages, previous, you know, relationships with previous children, you've continued to go along this path and this journey of being a dad and just growing and learning and giving. And that's what I try to do. That's what I try to do. And it's one of the most realest things I know. It's the closest thing in the natural to God in the spiritual that I've ever seen is the Father's heart, because it demonstrates that real love, that protecting, that encouraging, that motivating, that equipping that God so wants to do in all of us. But it's dads, and it's dads who need to do that. It's dads. There's dads that are out there doing that we don't value as a society. I realize that you don't see much encouragement and much value placed on dads. But my message to all dads is to know your worth and to know your value and to just continue to be dads, because we need you. The world needs you. And I'd say we need moms too, you know, but today's a dad's day, and I really want to commend dads. I want to commend the men that stand up in their family, that pray for their family, that love their wives, that are faithful to their wives, that teach their children, that equip their children, you know, because we don't even hear a lot about that in the world and in most churches nowadays. We don't talk about that. But to me, that's God the Father. There's something very special there, and that's why I'm hardcore for that. And I know what it's like to feel like you have nobody and to be lonely, but to have that person in that position and that title that can exercise their authority because they have that authority, but they choose to love you and to equip you and to just share and fellowship with you. And we need more of that in the church and in the world and in the school. So I don't know. I kind of went on a
tangent.
God bless you guys.
Thanks, Mike. Amen. Oh, yeah. I might not get to my message, but that'd be all right. Go right ahead.
You know, we have a little saying that rolls off our tongues in our culture, the love of a mother, right? But I don't feel like that saying comes as quickly when we talk about fathers. And it's not that there isn't love from a father, but But there are two different roles that parents have to raise up their children in the way they should go. And so thinking about my dad and kind of our experience, I always knew my dad loved me, but what is it that he really taught me? And the core of it, and I think this is one of the things that may be wrong with our society, but the core of it is the word perseverance. And that really alludes to what Mike was saying. It is just that continual movement forward in bettering yourself, your situation, your family, in growing spiritually. It's that understanding that, that life isn't a simple railway, that it really is a road. It's a path that you can get off of, but you can always get back on track. So, you know, kind of growing up, it was, there were times where my dad worked way too much, and I never saw him. And I remember being young and crying one night, saying, I just want to see you, Dad. And he worked on that. There were times where he went bankrupt. We lost everything, every single penny, to the point where you didn't even know if you could buy a pizza on a Friday night. But he got back up, and he worked and kind of built his businesses again. And I think that when, you know, on a personal level, that stays true. There are problems. You make mistakes, and God willing, if we ever become parents, I'll make mistakes too. Laura might not, because she's more perfect than me. But I certainly will. But learning to move forward and stay on track. So I think that's the core of it.
Amen. Thank you, Chris.
You all know my dad.
Here you go.
The mic.
Yes, you do. The tape needs it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I'm being recorded. Now what do I say, right?
Right. Now I'm live. Okay, my dad was a workaholic. He worked many jobs. He was never home. I'm so glad that I have him now, today, and I pick him up every Sunday to bring him to church. It's just special. My dad always made sure that us kids never went without. And he's the father figure in my girls' life. And I just want to thank you for being my dad.
Awesome. Good, Jackie. That's your dad. Anyone else like to share something quick? Yeah. Well, I knew somebody in that role would.
It's been really interesting. I've been taking a marriage and family class online through my school, and I've also been working at the Pregnancy Care Center downtown, and I've been learning a lot about families. And one of the biggest things that I've been noticing when they talk about families, they're trying to remove gender roles. And interestingly, what ends up happening is we lose masculinity completely. You talk about lesbian and gay couples, oftentimes the lesbians will not adopt boys because they feel like they cannot give them a role to be an example. They don't know how to teach a man to be a man without demeaning women. But gay men won't necessarily adopt a boy either because they tend to act as women. They don't know how to be men either. So when I was thinking about my dad this morning, I already told him this, and I was crying when I wrote my card to him because I am so thankful that he loves my mother so much and that he loves us kids so much and that he has taken time out of his life to invest into us and teach us what it means for a man to be a man and to protect us. And he has taught us how to take responsibility for ourselves and for our thoughts. And mothers do a lot of those things, but there is something special about a man teaching us how to do that. Even as a daughter, my mom couldn't give that to me the same way that my dad could. And I'm very, very thankful that my dad does that for us. And I love you.
Awesome. Praise God. Anyone else? How many kids I got back there? It looks like four of them at the moment.
And the chosen child, her birthday child, should thank you just for giving her life today.
My wife asked me if I was going to embarrass my daughter, but she already did, so it's all right. Today is Star's birthday. The interesting thing about that is I was born on Mother's Day. And my daughter was born on Father's Day.
My daughter was born on my birthday.
And your daughter was born on your birthday. All right.
And my granddaughter was born.
Yeah, and so today's Star's birthday. So everybody make sure you let her know that she have a happy birthday. I was going to say give her a hug and say happy birthday, but she's not the hugging type. Yeah, so she's good. I can tell you a little bit about my dad. I'll describe him. Are you familiar with my sense of humor? Came from my dad. Are you familiar with my work ethic? Came from my dad. Are you familiar with how I treat people in general? Came from my dad. And I'm sure my sister would testify as well, we were blessed with the dad that we have. You know, like you, Jackie, he worked a lot when we were kids, but somehow he found time for us. You know, we've got home videos of him laying on the floor and five kids piling on his back, and then he dumps us off, and then we do it again, you know, and those kinds of things. You know, he took us to the mountains, and he took us, you know, to the different places and to the lakes, and yeah, we were really blessed with, I'm really blessed with the dad I have. And he's still there, 82 years old. I'm going over this afternoon to fix his water pump in his house. He called me yesterday and said, oh, I got this leaky pipe, and can you fix it? I said, tomorrow. And I said, well, I said, it's Father's Day tomorrow. I would love to come and fix that pipe for you tomorrow. So at some point today, I'm going to go do that. But he still works hard every single day. And I'm really blessed, and my whole family's blessed. With the dad that I have. Real quick, Job chapter 1. How are you going to get a Father's Day out of Job? Father's Day message out of Job. Well, there's one right there in the first five verses. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. And seven sons and three daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the east. And his sons would go and feast in their houses each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, as a father, for this example that we can look at and examine and see, God, how we measure up as fathers. And I pray today that we would be inspired by Job's life to be the dads that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go through this quickly because we don't have to spend all day, you know, trying to figure out how to be a dad. God lays it right out there. And one of the interesting things about this particular book, and you know, we say his name is Job. In verse 1 there, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And I highlighted it there because let me tell you something, fathers. It is a good thing for a father to have a job. You want to be a good father? You teach your son how to work. Being a father is a job. That's right. Now, the word Job you know, why, you know, in our English translation, it's spelled job. I don't know, but it just kind of fits today on Father's Day. If you're a father, get a job. You know, it's hard for children today to have any relationship with their dads at all. And you know what? And I'm not, you know, saying this as a rebuke or anything, but there are men out there who just won't work. And, you know, as I look around and thank God I don't see any of them here, because you guys are all workers, and that's awesome. And I don't want to get stuck up on the word job. But, you know, the word, that word comes from is the word hated. If you look at the original word that his name is, the meaning of his word, of his name, is hated. And, you know, that's something else. I think Satan hates very much when a dad steps up to the plate and be's a dad. I think Satan hates that a lot. I'm really curious about that. And if you think about it, and if you know the story of Job, in fact, if you read the rest of the chapter, you will see that Satan, of all the people on the earth, Satan picks out Job. Satan hated Job. And guess what? Each and every one of us who are dead, Satan hates us too. And I'm curious if that's why our society has broke down the way it has, because Satan hates it when a man, like as somebody just testified, teaches his family, teaches his boy how to be a man. I think Satan hates that when a father loves his daughter and instills and invests in her life. Satan wants the family to break down. And so I'm curious if that has anything to do with Job's name as well. But here we have it. Here we have a really quick look at what it takes to be a good dad. It says Job was blameless and upright. Blameless and upright. Now, as Mike said earlier, you know, we all make mistakes. We all fail. And my prayer is that each and every one of us, when we make those mistakes and when we fail, we do exactly what Mike said, and we get back up. Don't stop. Don't quit. You know, Chris mentioned how, you know, his father had gone bankrupt. And he got back up and he's at it again. Never stop. Never quit. But no matter what it is, whether we fail, whether we do it right, you know, or whether we get it right or whether we get it wrong, let's, in God's eyes, be blameless and upright. Why? Because our children are watching. Chances are your children will do what you do and more. They're watching. And chances are, if your children hear you say, oh, you know what, I love God, but they never see you go to church, they never see you read your Bible, they never see you pray, guess what they're going to do? They're not going to go to church, they're not going to read their Bibles, and they're not going to pray. How many know it's important to go to church and to read your Bibles and spend time in prayer? It's very important. And so we as fathers need to learn how to be blameless and upright. What is blameless? It means when something bad happens, you're not to blame. This world is falling apart. I sure hope it's not the blame of the fathers why it's falling apart. Let's be blameless as dads, doing everything we possibly can. And you know what? It doesn't matter when you figure this out. And guess what? Until we start following Jesus, we as dads won't get it the way God planned it. But as soon as we come to Jesus, it's important for us to know exactly how he wants us to live as fathers and be blameless and upright. You know, I could think of several definitions for blameless and upright. But it's simply, you know what? Be who you say you're going to be. Do what you say you're going to do. Follow the Lord in all of your ways. And at the end of the day, be standing. Be upstanding. Be somebody who can be proud of what you did earlier in the day, and not in a sinful way, but rather in a godly way, and that, you know what, I've done something today that left value and virtue behind. Be blameless and upright. It says, and Job also was one who feared God and shunned evil. Feared God and shunned evil. And there's all kinds of, you know, explanations about fearing God. You know, oh, I'm so afraid of God. He's going to squash me like a bug. That's not the type of fear that he wants us to have in our minds, although that should be in the back of our minds. But fearing God is more of a reverent type word. If you look it up, it's more about reverencing God. In other words, giving him honor, giving him, you know, recognition of the position of who he is and understanding that, you know what, he is God. And whatever he says, that's what I should do. Wherever he sends, that's where I should go. He is God. And I revere him. When I think about reverence of, you know, of God, it's almost like I get this idea of I want to hear every word he says. I want to understand every thought he thinks. Because he's God. Fear God and shun evil. This is what Job did as a father. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. And what that means is he stayed away from evil. How many of us, every single one of us, probably already today, and if not already, maybe before we leave church, and maybe if it's not that soon, before the end of the day, I will guarantee you something evil will come your way. Shun it. Walk away from it. You want to show your kids how to be a good example as a person, dad? When evil comes your way, you teach them how to get away from it. Don't go there. Avoid it. And sometimes, and when it's not avoidable, turn and run from it. I'm thinking mindful of Joseph in the Bible. He did the right thing, man. When that woman was trying to seduce him, he ran. Shun evil. This is the character of a good dad. You work hard for your family. Blameless and upright. And you fear God. And you shun evil. It says in verse 2, it says, 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And I highlighted that word, to. It doesn't say they were born from him. They were born to him. I think there's a difference there. I think it's very important that we, as dads, we father the children that God brings to us. God brought me an extra. A couple, actually. There are times where my children, both my children, there are times when they bring other kids to the house, and you know what? Yeah, I'll be your dad too if you need that. I'll do that. Why? Because I believe that God brings children to us as fathers. Why? Because those children need men in their lives that they can look up to. They need men in their lives that will wrap their arms around them and love them. And give them guidance and give them hope. And so make sure that the children that God has brought to you, you don't push them away. But you lead them. Lead them in the ways of God. Lead them in the ways that they should go. Isn't that what the Bible says? Teach your children, raise them up in the way that they should go, right? Well, you know, and I've heard a lot of different definitions of that particular verse too, but, you know, every child, there's a way that they should go. Well, what way is that? God's way. Doesn't matter what it is they choose for prefer a profession. We have in here chefs, we have auto mechanics, we have military people. These are children, and you know what? Then, and God has led them in the path that they have taken, but we as dads need to teach them in whatever path they choose to take, this is the way you go. The ways of God. Myself, I've been into all kinds of things. I've been in construction world, I've been in demolition world, I've done all kinds of different things. In all of those things, as I was working all those years in front of my children needed to see that, you know what, whatever it was I did it with God. And so that's how you teach your children in the way that they should go. But we should be very close or very careful to care for the children that God brings to us. Also, his possessions were great. In verse 3 there, it says, so that he was the greatest of all the people of the East. And chances are that may have something to do with why Satan also picked on him, because he was the greatest one. You know, if you think about it, if let's say you got a whole gang of people coming at you, you take out the biggest guy, and what happens? The rest of them flee. The rest of them cower in fear. And perhaps Satan went after Job because he was the greatest one. Well, what made him the greatest one? What we already talked about. He was upright. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. And you know what? And God blessed that. You can look at verse 3 there and you can see how God blesses a blameless an upright person, somebody who fears God, somebody who shuns evil. God blesses that. And I'm not saying, oh, let's just be little angels so that God will give us the world. No. God blesses those who love God. There's on the sign out there, I've had it out there for a while, I need to change it again, but it says on the sign out there, God does not bless disobedience, period. And so let me just say this to you. If you're somebody who is disobeying God and you're getting all this stuff and, wow, I'm really being blessed. Understand, that's probably not God giving you all that stuff. Because God does not bless disobedience. But Job was blessed. He had all of this possession, in a very large household, so that he was the greatest man in the East. Now, it says that he had sons. His sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day. I don't know if that means just on their birthdays, which there was, what did it say? He had seven sons, and so, you know, maybe if they were born in different months, I mean, they're partying most of the year. But this family was a large family, and they got along together, which is a good thing. When you got a large family and all the kids get along, isn't that a blessing? Not only is that a blessing, but it's also a testimony of who Dad was. Do you know that? Myself and my siblings, we get along very well. You know, yeah, we have those, you know, sibling issues that most siblings do, but at the end of the day, we love one another. We hang out with one another. We have a lot of fun. You know, and we pick on each other a lot because we, you know, well, not Judy and me, but, you know, the rest of them have these quirks, you know. They're a little different sometimes, but. Every child is a little different, and we have different personalities, we have different things we like to do and stuff like that. But none of that matters to us because, you know, God has given us a dad that has shown us the value of family and being together. And Job's family was very much like this, and it was really a testimony, I think, of what kind of father he was. But they would get together on their day, and not only would they get together on their day, but they'd also call up their sisters. Surprisingly, say, okay, girls, you can come. But he invited them all, and they would have a party. And they would eat, and they would drink. And then what it says in verse 5, so it was when the days of feasting had run their course. And here's some more about what we can learn about being a good dad. Job would send and sanctify them. Now, it's interesting that he would send and sanctify them. In other words, he would encourage them, hey, you know what? You guys had a little stuff going on over there. You need to go. You really should go to church this week. You really should show up at church and go up to that altar and get on your knees and ask God to cleanse you. Sanctifying, you know, means set apart. You know, sanctifying is being cleansed. And so Job would make a point of this. And you know what, dads? It doesn't matter how old your children get. Encourage them to go forward in God. Encourage them. You know what? Find the church that, you know, if they don't live in the area, if they live in your area, encourage them to come to church with you. If they don't live in your area, then encourage them to, you know, find a church where you can go there and you can love God and they'll love you and be ministered to and those kinds of things. But get to church. And so Job would encourage his kids to get to church. And it says he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Now, this is really powerful. This is something we need to understand. If you are not praying for your kids, dads, now's the time to start. And I trust that most of you do, but make it a point. Every morning, Job would get up and he would offer a burnt offering. Now, a burnt offering, it costs Job something to pray for his children. You know, I don't like it when it costs me sleep. But I need to do that. I need to pray for my children. And you need to pray for your children on the day. This is what a good dad does. Job, it says he gave burnt offering for the number of them all. So every day, 10 of his animals were being sacrificed to God on the altar of sacrifice. And here's a burnt offering being lifted up to God. And it cost Job something. Don't be so high and mighty as a dad that you're not willing to spend something on your children. And I'm not always talking about, you know, financial gain. Spend time praying for them. Spend time talking to them. Spend time playing with them. Think about your relationship with your children. What are you doing for them on a daily basis? It says, Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus, Job did regularly. I pray for my kids. I've been praying for my kids since before they were born. As soon as I knew we were pregnant, I started praying for my kids. And I'm still praying for them. And guess what? I'm pretty sure my kids have done some things they probably shouldn't have done, just like your kids have, just like we did. And I pray for them. Why? Because I love them, and I want God to forgive them. I want God to wash them and to cleanse them. And so for me to be a good dad, and this is where I'll leave it real quick, just a real quick picture of who Job was as a father. This is a really good outline for us as dads. Be blameless and upright, number one. Number two, fear God. Number three, shun evil. Number four, be there for your children. Be there for the children that God has brought to you. And number five, encourage your children to set themselves apart for God. That's the sanctification. Number six, make sacrifices for each one of them. And number seven, pray for them regularly. If you want to be Father of the Year, guess what? Right there is a really good outline for you. Dads, let me just encourage you. Your kids won't be perfect. They will be hard at times. But all I can say is love them, love them, love them, and love them. Who was it? Somebody mentioned as they were testifying that, you know what? They don't always turn out the way you want them to. But love them and love them and love them and love them. Why? Because they're the children that God brought to you. And if we could be like Job, blameless, upright, fearing God, shunning evil, being there, encouraging them, sacrificing for them, and praying for them regularly, I believe God wants dads of the church today to be the example for our culture today. Do you know that? Because our culture today, as Mike said, there's a fatherless society. You know, in today's generations, not only are dads failing, but granddads are failing too. And that ought not be us. We need to be examples of exactly who Job was. You know, Job is the, even though it's not the first book of the Bible, it is the oldest written book of the Bible. I'm not sure if you knew that. If you were to pick up a chronological, well, not chronological, but if you were to, if the books were put in position from the time periods that they were written, Job would be first. And that's really interesting. And I believe that Job because this is really the first. He was back in the day, somewhere after Adam and Eve, obviously, and perhaps before Noah. Well, most likely before Noah. Somewhere in there, if you read your Bibles, you learn that God was very interactive in the lives of people in that day. And so I believe that Job had an understanding of God that perhaps we don't have today. And that's why I think it's important for us to grab hold of the things that he did as a dad in order for us to get it right now. You know, back then, God perhaps spoke audibly. Today, he's still speaking, but it's a voice that you hear in your heart. It's kind of a knowing. You know, I've shared this many times how I learned God's voice, you know, through prayer. I'm like, oh, that's the voice I've been hearing all my life. I just didn't know it was God, so I didn't listen to it. But we as men and we as dads, we need to know God's voice like Job knew God's voice. We need to trust God the way that Job trusted God. If you read through the book of Job and you find out all the stuff that happened to him, Job trusted God and Job worshiped God. No matter how bad it got, and it got bad, Job never turned his back on God. And so think about that as you're raising up your children. That is what they need to see, is the man that will always trust God, that will never turn his back on God. No matter what happens in our lives, dads, worship God. Stand with me this morning, gentlemen and ladies. Kylie, would you like to come up and play that song for us? Today being Father's Day, let's get it in our minds to make this Father's Year. In other words, we never stop thinking about being a good dad. We never stop praying for our children. We never stop fearing God. We never stop shunning evil. And it is a special day. I'm so glad, you know, when our children, they surround themselves on us. You know, it's almost like an extra birthday, isn't it, dads? But let's be the dad that God has called us to be. Could I have all the men come right up to the front? Honey, would you? Oh, I got it right over here. I'll get that in a moment. Just come right up to the front in the middle. Hallelujah. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12 with myself. 12 dads. Isn't that interesting? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, 12. 12 dads. You know, it took 12 apostles to spread the gospel around the world. What can 12 dads do in our generation? Let's pray. Ladies, would you extend your hand toward these men? Father, I pray a blessing on these men. Lord, that each one would have the courage to be blameless and upright before you. That each one, oh God, would fear you and reverence you. And God, that each one would have the power of your Holy Spirit in their lives in order, Lord, that they could shun evil that comes from every angle. God, that these men would be there for the children that you have brought to them, and that they would encourage them, children, to set themselves apart for God. And God, that these men would be blessed for every sacrifice they make for their children. And God, that you would help us all as dads to remember regularly to pray for our children. Father, bless these men here today with a godly walk. Bless them, Lord God, with godly children. Bless them, Lord God, with all the things necessary to be the dad that you've called them to be. Lord, we need your help because we do get it wrong and we do fail. But we trust you, God, that you will help us and you will show us the way. So, God, I pray for these men and I pray for their children. Lord, that when our children look at us, they see men that are called by God that will love them. So, Father, bless these men on this Father's Day. And I pray that we would be inspired from this day forward as men, as fathers, as dads, to do everything we possibly can to help our children find you. Bless each one today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't go away. I got something for you. Kylie, you can go ahead and sing. Oh, yeah. We don't have socks. We don't have flowers. Help yourself, brother.
Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love endures all things. Love is not proud. It holds all others above itself. Love forgives. It covers all sin. In spite of what's been done, love protects. It comes alongside. This is love. The greatest commandment that God gave man is to love. Love the Lord your God and love one another as God loves you. Because God came down, he bore all our shame. He came. Choice to be made. It's not a feeling inside that changes with time. Love is true. Love is faithful. No matter what is said or done. This is love. Love is not easy, it's a sacrifice from your heart. Love does not seek its own, it takes time to listen and understand. And all is worthless. We live by to love. And though we have all faith enough to move the mountains, but have not love, we're nothing. Love is not an emotion, it's a choice to be made. It's not a feeling inside that changes with time. Love is true, love is faithful, no matter what is said or done. He loves. Can you see them through his eyes? Would you lay down your life? Would you sacrifice all you have, all you want, all you choice to be made. It's not a feeling inside that changes with time. And love is true, love is faithful, no matter what is said or done. This is love. Suffers long, love is kind, love endures all things, love is not proud, it holds all others above itself. This is love.